Good morning, everybody, from the Langford household in Starbeck. I've got two readings for you today, both from the Book of Acts 3, 1 to 18, 1 to 8, and Acts 4, 5 to 13. So we'll start with Acts 3, 1 to 8. One day, Peter and John were going to the temple at the time of prayer, at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. And instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. So now we move on to Acts 4, 5 to 13. The next day, the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met at Jerusalem. Annas the high priest was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. "By what power or what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. Then this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone the builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. It's nice to be with you again here. It's nice when we're in church, but it's also okay when we're all separate like this, because God is with us wherever we are. Well, as Phil's already said, this is our final session on talking about authority. And we've talked about God's authority for quite a few weeks. And we've looked at Old Testament, we've looked at New Testament. And today we're particularly looking at how that authority and power worked through the disciples. Before we get to the two stories we've had, which obviously one follows on from the other, let's go back for a moment to last week. I wonder if you remember what Phil was talking about last week, thinking caps on. Well, I'll tell you anyway. He was preaching on the final part of Matthew's gospel, the Great Commission. Let me just read it and remind you of what it says. The last little bit. "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" All authority was given to Jesus. That's interesting, isn't it? And then he finalized that passage by giving the disciples a promise that he would be always with them. So here is our first story that we see the disciples acting on the command that Jesus gave them to go. And they can use the authority of Jesus in their ministry because he is with them. That's his promise to them. And it's interesting to note right at the beginning of these passages that Peter and John are continuing with some Jewish customs, Life had changed for them. Faith had changed. But they knew the important things, prayer. The Jewish people had three times of prayer marked out every day, 9 a.m., 12 noon, 3 p.m. And they felt that praying in the temple was good, extra special. So here they are going up to the temple to pray. And they see a crippled beggar. Such people were often put in public places where people would pass by so that they could beg, because they had no other way of making any money. Well, he got a lot more than money that day, didn't he? From Peter and John. He asked them for money, but that's not what they got here. Let's just look at that little bit again at the beginning of the passage. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but in the name, what I have I give you, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Notice the authority and the power of Jesus in Peter's words. One book I was reading said that the power there is delegated authority. So Jesus was allowing them to use his authority through them. But the glory was continually given to Jesus. That's the important bit. But look at the next verse. Do you know, I've never really noticed that verse like this before. I don't know what brought it to me this time. I've read it many, many times, but something struck me this time. You probably already know, but I'm going to tell you anyway. It says, "Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong." Peter did not stand back and watch the man struggle to his feet. He leaned forward and helped him to get up. Another writer said this: "The power was Christ's, but the hand was Peter's." I would say the voice and the boldness were Peter's too. He knew and trusted the authority of Jesus with him. He had seen many miracles. He watched Jesus take, for example, the hands of the daughter of Jairus and raise her. The man got up with Peter's help and followed them, praising God. How incredible and challenging is all that? God's power, Peter's hand and voice. We'll move on to the next part of the story. You know, if you want to know exactly what happened after that, you need to read the rest of chapter 3 and the beginning of chapter 4, because I wasn't going to ask Mike to read all that. That's far too much. But in a nutshell, many people heard about the healing and came running to see. I think they were probably coming to see Peter, see who this man was that was doing this. But Peter didn't miss an opportunity, does he? He took the opportunity to preach his second sermon. "It's not about our power that did this," he said. And of course, he gave the glory to Jesus. He went on to tell them about Jesus and who he was. He talked of his death and resurrection. Now we remember he's doing this in the temple courts. And the way he was talking was making the temple guard and the Sadducees a little bit disturbed. They were talking about death and resurrection. And the sad, emphasis on Sadducees, don't believe in resurrection. It all resulted that day in Peter and John being arrested and put in prison till the next morning. Interesting to read the very last verse of that before we go on to what happened next. Verse 4 says this: "But many who heard the message that day believed. And the number of men grew to about 5,000. That's incredible, isn't it? It was obviously a good strong word there for 5,000 people. So we come to the second part of our story, the next day. All the bigwigs have gathered. This was important stuff. They didn't like this. There were rulers, elders, teachers of the law, the high priest. It was the Sanhedrin that had 71 members. They were brought before the people of influence in that society. Clever people, educated people. This was the court that tried Jesus, if you remember. I wonder how Peter and John were feeling at that time. They'd stood up for Jesus. They weren't ever going to do anything but that. But would it have the same result as Jesus? Would they be killed too? The court began its interrogation with a straight question. By what power or what name did you do this? Well, I think what happened next was an act of great boldness from Peter. It was incredible. And I decided I'd read these words in the Message version of the Bible and just see what they say. And I'm going to read that little bit to you now from the Message version of the Bible. With that, Peter, full of the Holy Spirit, let loose. Rulers and leaders of the people, if we have been brought to trial today for helping a sick man, put under investigation regarding his healing, I'll be completely frank with you. We have nothing to hide. By the name of Jesus of Nazareth, the one you killed on a cross, the one God raised from the dead by means of his name, this man stands before you, healthy and whole. Jesus is the stone you masons threw out, which is now the cornerstone. Salvation comes no other way. No other name has been given or will be given by which we must be saved. Only this one. Wow. Peter and John took Jesus at his word, didn't they, there, and went for it. Do you remember the time when Jesus told them, when he was with them, that when they were brought before kings and governors, they weren't to worry, they would be given what to say? That's in Luke 21, and that's exactly what happened here. The listeners were astonished. My Message Bible says they couldn't take their eyes off them. Here were these men speaking fluently and articulate. But the Sanhedrin realized that they were ordinary men. Ordinary men. They didn't have any learning. They didn't have the education. But what they had to take note of was that these men had been with Jesus. The Sanhedrin, after all this, sent them out and had a discussion. It's a bit like a jury, isn't it? What do we do here? The Sanhedrin were in trouble. They didn't want this to continue. No way. But they couldn't deny the healing. The man was standing there among them. He was 40 years old, it tells us. And what's more, all the people were going along with Peter and John. And they were praising God. Anyway, they called them back in and commanded them to stop speaking to anyone in the name of Jesus. Well, again, Peter and John were incredibly bold. Judge for yourselves, they said, whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. The rulers continued threatening them. But the people everywhere were praising God for what had happened that day. So in the end, they just had to let them go. It's a bit of an amazing event, isn't it? Right at the very beginning of the Christian church. Peter and John had started as they intended to go on, fully committed to Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, and trusting in his promise, I will be with you always. So what's all that got to say for us today? Well, I'm not sure I really need to spell it out, but I'll say a few things. Because you see, this is what Jesus calls us to be bold and to trust in his promises. Have you ever prayed for someone with great expectation that something's going to happen? Well, I've prayed healing for people many, many times. And I've seen things happen. I've seen people get healed. I've seen situations changed. But I've also prayed many, many times where nothing is obviously happening. You see, it's in his hands. The power and authority belong to Jesus. But the words speaking were mine. That was my responsibility to do it. Can we speak boldly in our everyday situations, our front line for God? Again, it's challenging. But I know that when I've taken the risk, when I've done it, God has honored me. So why are we afraid to do it? He never lets us down. I can remember one situation where I was in a meeting with, we were speaking about Jesus, and I think we were talking about the cross and resurrection. And it was in a meeting of very highly educated people, much cleverer than me, much, much cleverer than me. And the conversation and discussion was okay, but I felt they were missing something. So I thought, what do I do here among all these people? I'm not going to speak. But it just persisted. This is wrong. There's something here that they're missing out on. So I took my life in my hands and said it. And of course, God honored what I said. So the challenge is this. Will we be bold for Jesus? Knowing his power and his authority are there when we speak in his name. And you know, here's some good news. It's okay if we fail. It's okay if we get it wrong. Because we have a God who loves us through and through. He's delighted we want to follow him. He's delighted we want to speak in his name and act in his name. But we do get it wrong. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our failings, and he forgives us and sets us off again. He just encourages us to know him, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and to go as those first disciples did. Let's pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for that power and authority that belongs to Jesus. And thank you for Jesus' promise to be with us always. And Father, as we go about our daily lives, our front lines, please give us boldness. Please give us your words to speak. Give us the courage to be the people you've called us to be. We just thank you for your amazing love for each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.